concerns on council. All right, we'll call this policy meeting to order. And first, we'll determine if there is a quorum. Is there a speaker?
Yes, we do have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Next is audience participation.
We do have audience participation. Mr. Dave Mangold, we'd like to speak about the Headwaters Trail. What's the rail line called? I'm sorry.
Called the Randall Secondary.
Randall Secondary. So you have 3 minutes.
You want to step up here?
Sure. All the way up here?
All the way up there.
All the way up there. Oh, I didn't get a podium. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dave Mangold. I was surprised to learn just this morning, actually, that I took the floor in front of this committee exactly 16 years ago yesterday for the major investment study that was underway at that time. That was the project that eventually built the six-lane highway into Cleveland versus a commuter rail line from Aurora, Hudson, Akron area into Cleveland. Today I want to talk about the particular issue that's come up in Portage County amongst the AMAT's area regarding the abandonment of 5.5 miles of this former Randall industrial track, the old Erie Lackawanna Conrail. Last saw commuter rail service in January 1977. It was one of the last surviving commuter rail lines outside of the major metropolitan areas of Chicago and the East Coast. Unfortunately, it did meet its demise in 77. Later, the track was actually severed, and we lost the route as a through route. This major investment study 16 years ago did include the segment from Manaway and or Aurora into Cleveland as a consideration. I understand that the city of Aurora is currently planning on possibly purchasing the right-of-way and establishing a trail. I'm also aware that First Energy is interested in a corridor for an improved power line route. I think we can have a multimodal way that encompasses all three, the right-of-way for the power company, hiking, biking path, and preserving the railroad for the future. Some of you have traveled in the east or other large metropolitan areas. Denver, Aurora, and suburban Denver has light rail transit developed, and many other small cities outside of a large city urban core have commuter rail opportunities and or have developed such, and ridership has usually been very phenomenal. The people actually use it once built. I'm not in any way advocating that that's what we need to do right now. We just need to preserve the railroad corridor with the track in place, and I'd like to encourage this committee to possibly get a letter to the Ohio Rail Development Commission encouraging their purchase of the track. The city can continue with the purchase of the property and allow the trail. On today's agenda, I did want to address the Portage Hike and Bike Trail relocation going on over in Franklin Township. I have serious reservations about spending $353,600 on a bridge that's probably going to need complete replacement in the near future. I did understand at the CIC meeting, talking to our director, that there was some engineering studies, but we didn't know the answer as far as the longevity of that bridge. I'm just addressing that as a concern of a large amount of money being spent on an infrastructure that may need to be completely replaced. We've got a president currently talking about infrastructure development, and it would be disappointing to spend money on something that needs complete replacement that could be replaced in the near future and also accommodated in the trail. I'll be available afterwards if anybody would like to discuss any of these items further. Thank you for the time. I think I've more than used up my 3 minutes.
You're fine.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. All right, back to the agenda. We have minutes from May 10th, 2018. Attachment 2A requires a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes. Morazzi.
Is there a second?
I'll second. Clark. Manoy.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. All right, staff reports, financial progress report, attachment 3A. Curtis?
Thank you. So attachment 3A shows our budget through the end of March. We hadn't had a chance to get our billing out with the new numbers, but we are well within budget. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Are there any questions? All right, motion to approve.
So moved, Rosker.
Second, please.
Second, Kerrigan.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Our technical progress report will be an oral report by Curtis. There is no motion required.
All right, thank you again. So from a technical progress perspective, I don't think some of you may have been involved or come to our meeting last week that District 4 generously hosted our technical advisory committee meeting. We had Dave Holstein from Central Office talking about, oh boy, the acronym always escapes me. I know it does, John.
Performance-based project development.
Right, but what it really means is designing things, you know, looking at what we have existing and not designing to standards, but designing to problems and issues. And I think for those of you that were there, it was a very, very positive look at, you know, just ways that we can save money, ways that we can be smart about how we build things and be creative and not just say, oh, well, the standard says this, so this has to be this wide or this has to be this big. And I think ODOT's taking the lead on that is great, and I think our membership hearing that as well as some of the consultant community, it's always a really positive thing. I don't know, John or Steve, if you had anything to add. But
yeah, I was just going to say, I think that the big key is that the Federal Highway Administration has embraced this as well. And, you know, in the past, it didn't meet the standards, and there was no question it was rejected. But now that they are recognizing that the standards don't always apply, and engineers need to be engineers and not just look at them.
Right, yeah, I think that's well said. And so that's very exciting. And so I would just encourage, you know, I think for local projects that has ramifications for us too. And like I said, with the consultant community as well, thinking about, hey, you know, it's all right to ask hard questions of the consultants that work for on your local projects about maybe there are ways that, you know, we can look at things. Design exceptions aren't a bad word. I think that's what they were saying at the meeting last week. But it was really well attended, and I appreciate everyone for coming. And also, obviously, you know, appreciate everyone being here on a Tuesday due to scheduling issues with this venue. I know that the agenda is somewhat light. We decided to have a June agenda because, obviously, the fiscal year begins in, you know, July, and it's actually very advantageous because for projects that you'll be approving today that sometimes slip through the cracks and then they don't get on the STIP, which is the state TIP in time, this is actually really beneficial for us to have this meeting, especially from an administrative perspective. Finally, the last thing I wanted to add was that AMATS has started doing some cell phone surveying. We're going to be doing some throughout the summer. Essentially, we're asking our traffic counters to basically be looking for this, you know, when you're driving. We did our first one on Miller Road in Akron. About 12% of people are looking at their phones while they're driving. That was about the same percentage of when we did a cell phone survey in 2010 and 2011. Except back then we were looking for this. So it just goes to show how much things are changing from a technology perspective. And while we were only tracking cell phones, our counters reported back too that it's still not just cell phones. It's lipstick, it's the newspaper, it's, yeah, exactly. But I think what we would like to do is we want to get a few more samples of this, and then we'll probably put together a press release and maybe try to do some distracted driving emphasis. Especially with, I think, from ODOT's perspective, from ours, we know that's the cause of a lot of our accidents, especially the rear ends. And so anything that we can even do as an agency just to help bring awareness to that is important. But I did think that 12% number, part of me thought it was going to be higher, but, you know, when you're still thinking, looking at a two-hour window, 12% of the cars coming by, somebody's not looking at the roadway, and even that's way too many. So we'll be reporting back on that in September. And if there's any questions about any of what I've just talked about, I'd be happy to answer them.
You know, Curtis, the one I notice is if they stop, then it comes out.
Right.
And then when the light turns green, they're sitting there.
Yeah.
That's probably higher than 12%.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. It's any break that you get, you know. And then I think the highway is a very... I think the highway lulls people into a sense of security because it's straight and it's you're kind of going the same speed. Yeah, so you just kind of, I think we would, I'd be curious if we could do it on the highway, which we're not going to have our counter stand there going 70.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, potentially we could. But I wouldn't surprise me if it was higher than it too.
Oh, no doubt. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Curtis. Mm-hmm. Moving on, we're going to go to letter C, AMAC's federal funds report, attachment 3C, and Dave Poulet is going to give that report.
Hey, thank you. Not a whole lot to talk about at this meeting. I guess the big thing is fiscal 2018 is coming to an end. I'm happy to announce that most of the major projects that we had scheduled in fiscal year 18 did sell, and our balances are at a good level, so we don't have to worry about losing any funding. The other thing is, you might be wondering what's happening with the new projects that we accepted back in early in the year. Our strategy with those is we're planning to add the ones that are scheduled for any phase in, say, fiscal year 19. We're planning to add those into the current TIP, and all the other ones that are scheduled further out will be incorporated into the next TIP, which I'll begin working on this fall. So we'll have after I'm done with this, we have an amendment that'll add, I think, 8 projects or 6 new projects, and that should pretty much take care of the ones that are scheduled in the near future. A couple other minor things. We had FYI, we had a CASA project canceled. It was a sidewalk project on Canton Road. It was between the new Springfield High School and Springfield Lake Boulevard. It was only going to be on the west side of the street. And I know our agency did a study, and the sponsor did a study. And we thought we'd see gobs of students walking up the road, and we only saw 2 or 3. So we were really kind of surprised at that. And the sponsor is still going to do a resurfacing project in that area. And when he does, we're going to have 6 or 8 foot shoulders. So if there is anyone walking, they can still be safely off the highway. The last item, sent this out saying that we're going to have a project review meeting in June, and right after this went out, I heard from ODOT that June's going to be pretty tough, so we'll actually be scheduling a project review meeting probably in July. So we have a little bit more time with that. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay, you want to just stay there, Dave? We'll probably get to you very soon. All right, thank you. Is there any old business to bring before this body? Any new business?
Nope.
All right, we're going to move on to our resolutions. Resolution 2018-13, and Dave Poulet will give us an overview.
Okay, I'm going to stand over here and do this one because I couldn't find the remote for the projector. Amendment number 8 is adding 6 new projects to the TIP, and it's making some revisions to 2 existing projects. The first project we're adding is the Portage Pike and Bike relocation. Engineering and construction is scheduled in fiscal year 19. The TASA funding for this project is $353,600. This is the renovation of an old railroad bridge. As you can see, the green line up there is the existing trail, and the way it is configured now is you have to go out to Ravenna Road and then cross a narrow bridge and then pick up the trail on the other side. And with the renovation of this bridge, users of the trail can stay off the road. And this is another photo of that bridge. They want to use the side that's abandoned. And this is not really a main line. It's a it's just a siding. I'm not sure where it goes, but it doesn't see a lot of train traffic. The next new project is in Norton. It's Cleveland Massillon Road Phase 3. This is funded with slightly over $2 million worth of STDG funding. One thing I'd like to note here is Phase 3 is the red line, and Phase 2 is an existing project already in the TIP. That's the blue line. And what we're going to do is combine Phase 2 and Phase 3 under the PID that Phase 2 has, 97638, and both phases will be done at the same time. The next new project is resurfacing on Graham Road. This is sponsored by the City of Stowe. It's actually, the project actually is between the railroad tracks near Route 8, and it ends at Elm Road. This is funded with $700,000 of STDG funding. The next new project is in Lakemoor. This is resurfacing of Sanitarium Road, funded with almost $154,000 of STDG funding. And the next new project is in Hudson. This is, the next new project is in Stowe. This is sidewalks, State Route 91 sidewalks, funded with TASA. Right away may begin in 2019, and the right away funding is $74,100. And this is the Hudson project. This is State Route 91. South of downtown. This is between Barlow and Veterans Way. We do not actually have AMATS money in this, at least in engineering. It'll be funded with safety money, highway safety improvement funds, almost $800,000 for engineering. This is a revision to an existing project in Fairlawn. This is Cleveland Massillon Road widening. We're adding $200,000 to right away, and we're adding $277,000 to construction. And the last revision is the intersection of 224 Waterloo Road and Canton Road. We're adding $450,000 of TASA funding for sidewalks. The TASA funding will be used only for sidewalks, and hopefully that will get underway next year also. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Dave, you have a question?
Dave.
Yes.
So on the Lake Bike Trail, we're anticipating growth of that railroad. That, the railroad is currently owned by the county, but we're in the process of probably selling that. But we're anticipating increased train traffic on that. I'm not talking to the level of a main line or anything, but how does the renovations being done, how does it interact with the safety of people that use that, particularly if we move up to, say, like a couple times a day train traffic in the future?
I think that still a couple times a day would be pretty safe. I would not want to have this thing next to a main line,
sure.
But I'm thinking one or two trains a day, plus they're usually on a siding, they're usually going pretty slow. It wouldn't bother me. There may be some, if that does get busier, the railroad may require some separation,
okay.
some physical barrier of some type.
Okay.
And at this point, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but the engineering hasn't really gotten started yet.
That is correct.
I don't even think we know exactly what the treatment is. I mean, they're working on it, but I don't think the final, has been completed. So I think it'd be hard to say exactly how it looks right now.
Well, sure, but I guess what's leading me is safety part of this $353,000? I mean, this will cover what's anticipated, not only at present, but with growth of the rail.
You're talking about this project,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
I would anticipate, yes.
Okay.
I would.
Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there may be, you know, once the engineering does get underway, they may require some physical separation or a barrier of some type. The thing you have to remember, though, is it's only a short distance. But anyhow, it's really just a short distance. It's just a few hundred feet, really.
Like, I guess my long-term concern, it is more of a, if the traffic does increase, is that still a sustainable path for folks? I'd hate to put this kind of money into that bridge and then the railroad come back and say, sorry, you can't use this anymore.
Well, the whole rail line through Ravenna runs along this trail, which would render Ravenna fairly useless too with that thought.
Well, but it's not that close. I mean,
it is in places because we had to put a fence up.
Is it?
For the rail.
Okay.
We have a separation when we're within 22 or 23 feet.
Okay.
We convinced them to go further without a fence, but if that rail comes back toward the arsenal, then we're going to have to put a fence up for several thousand feet.
Okay.
It's part of the contract.
I think the thing, too, you have to consider, you brought up the topic of safety, is, you know, what is the safety of using that new proposed alignment with one or two trains compared to using the current alignment going over a bridge, a narrow bridge, which is right on, which has curves on both ends with traffic. So I think you have to kind of weigh that, too.
Yes. is this part of the Portage Trail Norfolk Southern Bridge Link project that's shown on the TASA funding table? Is this something
that is the project?
Yeah, no, that should be the project.
Or is it they one and the same? Or
yeah.
Is that we just adding that to it or something? Is that what's going on?
Yes, that was the request through the TAC TIP.
I guess the question I have is there a reason why I'm listed as the sponsor? But I don't have anything to do with that project. And I certainly don't want credit for it in my funding table.
No, we'll make sure that, definitely on all of our... In all of our books,
those folks are doing it.
Yeah, it's Portage Park District.
We could give it to Joe from Summit County.
I'll cancel.
All right.
I'm sorry about that. We won't correct that. I just saw that. But we'll definitely correct that. It'll definitely be in the table under Portage Parks.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion. We can still talk about it.
Okay.
A motion for resolution 2018-13 approving amendment number 8 to the Transportation Improvement Program FY 2018-21 to add 6 new projects and revise the funding to 2 existing projects.
I'll make that motion. Carrigan.
Is there a second?
Thank you, Bauer.
Right here. All right, any more discussion on this? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion passed. Thank you, Dave. All right, resolution 2018-14, attachment 6B in your packet. And Jeff Gardner, you please talk about it. Thank you.
Resolution 2018-14 is a TIT amendment for PARTA. This resolution seeks to add recently awarded federal funds to the TIT for PARTA and reschedule the project from fiscal year 2018 to 2019. The U.S. DOT is awarding these funds through its Federal Transit Administration Bus and Bus Infrastructure Program. PARTA is requesting the addition of approximately $2.7 million in federal funds to their current bus garage project scheduled in 2018 and then moving the project to 2019. PARTA was awarded these funds in order to meet federal requirements for storing and maintaining compressed natural gas vehicles. The total project cost will be just under $4 million, and the staff is requesting approval of resolution 2018-14.
Okay.
Fine. Take motion.
Very good. there a second?
Krause.
All right. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passed. Resolution 2018-14. Moving along, other business, do we have anything else? Except that this meeting, the next meeting is not until September 20th, 2018 at 1:30 right here. And I think that's it. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All right, we are...